December 1st, 1997, there was this group of students at Heath High School, and they said, we're going to get together, we're going to pray. Right out there in the hallway, this small group got together, West Paducah, Kentucky, Heath High School. They believed that God could hear their prayers. They believed that God answers prayers. So there they were, before the start of school, praying right in the hallway. And as they prayed, a 14-year-old freshman named Michael Carneal, he put earplugs in his ears. He took a pistol from his backpack. He aimed right at that group that was praying, fired off 10 rounds. 3 girls were killed. 6 more people were wounded. And then, right after that, he drops his gun. He just falls to the floor. And this kid comes running in. Another student comes running in. His name's Ben Strong, son of a preacher kid. Comes running up to Michael Carneal, grabs him by the shoulders, and just says, why did you shoot these people? And the kid, the 14-year-old kid, he goes, I don't know. I don't know. He goes, kill me. Kill me, he says. Wow. I had a chance to meet Ben Strong, the guy who was one of the first there on the scene. Got a picture here. I met him not long after the shooting. And almost immediately, one of the things that happened with Ben is around him, all of these exaggerated stories started to come up of how he rushed there while the gunfire was going and how he stopped more and more killing, even though that's not exactly how it played out. I think one of the reasons that the rumors spread so fast is we want to believe that if a good person saw that happening and they could do something, they would. I think there's something in us like that. You know, it's Father's Day here. It's Father's Day. And I bet there's a whole lot of dads that are watching right now and dads in this room where if we were in a situation where we could stop something from happening, if someone pulled a gun on our families or people we care about, we wouldn't hesitate. We wouldn't hesitate. Because that's what good fathers do, right? That's what good fathers do. All right, well, that brings us to the question we're going to wrestle with today. If there's something in us, if there's something in us that says, if I can stop evil, then I should stop evil. If there's something in us that says that, why doesn't God always do the same? If God can stop evil and doesn't, why doesn't he do the same? Why didn't God just jam the gun? Why didn't he jam the gun at Heath High School? Why didn't he jam the gun at Ascension Catholic? He could have done that. Why didn't he do it? Why not stop an abuser in their tracks when you can? Why not appear in full glory mode? You show up at a terrorist cell and you just show up in full glory mode. Why doesn't he do that? All right, well, if you are taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. Why should we trust a God who doesn't respond how and when we think he should? Why should we do that? If God is loving, if God is just, if God can see all things and God can do all things, why doesn't God prevent atrocities that you or I would do if we could? It can be really, really hard to place your faith in a God who is able but doesn't. How many of you know we're not the first people to ask questions like these? People have been asking these questions forever, forever. A prophet named Habakkuk, he asked them about 2,600 years ago. And guess what? God gave him an answer. We're going to look at that today. If you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. The book of Habakkuk can help us walk by faith when God doesn't make sense. That's what we'll be looking at. If you have your Bible with you, we want to encourage you to open up to this one. This is, I was telling them before we started the cameras, I'm really excited for this. Not because it's easy, but this is really good. It's really, really needed. So if you have your Bible with you, let's open up to Habakkuk 1:1. If you don't have a Bible at home, get one. We encourage you right now, hit pause, go to Bible.com, and download their free Bible app. All right, here we go. Habakkuk 1:1, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. We're going to hit pause right here and talk about this. Many of the sources I looked at said that the Hebrew word that's translated here as oracle, it's actually a lot closer to the English word burden. It's a word that really means you're carrying a heavy load. That's the more direct translation of that word. Habakkuk, he was carrying a heavy burden. Why? Because he looked all around him and it was an absolute mess everywhere he turned. Jewish kings were corrupt. The Jewish priests were a mess. There were false prophets given false hope. And that's just the internal stuff. That's just like within the nation chaos and within the nation corruption. There's also severe oppression from the surrounding nations. You got the nation of Assyria. They had oppressed the Jewish people for more than a century, inflicting pain, destruction. Then you got the Egyptians. The Egyptians follow. They put a puppet king in place that they could just pull all the strings for. And Habakkuk, he feels the weight of this. He feels the burden of this. And he gets real and he gets honest with God. Many of you can relate to this next prayer. Look at this. Right out of that opening, he jumps right in. Verses 2 through 4. Oh Lord, how long do I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you don't save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction, their violence, they're before me. Strife, contention, arise. So the law, paralyzed. Justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, and justice, if it's even presence, it goes forth perverted. This is what he sought. This is his burden. Bible's a brutally honest book. Brutally honest book. It's filled with example after example after example. People crying out to God in their confusion, crying out to God in their pain, crying out to God in their frustration, and even in their anger. How many of you heard the cliche, the Lord works in mysterious ways? How many of you heard that? All right, I've heard that. Don't you sometimes wonder why, God, you're not acting in the expected way? Like, why aren't you just doing what just seems so obvious that you should do? All right, I said God was going to answer Habakkuk. This happens as this book unfolds. He starts this answer now. Here's the answer God gives initially. And Habakkuk's not going to like this. Verses 5 through 11. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. For I'm doing a work in your days you would not believe if told. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation who march throughout the breadth of the earth. They seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded. They are fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards. They're more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence. All their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings, they scoff. At rulers, they laugh. They laugh at every fortress. And remember this, they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and just go on. Guilty men whose own might is their God. That's how they describe these people. This is not the answer that Habakkuk is hoping for. What's God sending? He's not sending a deliverer. He's not sending another Moses. He's not sending another Gideon. He's not sending another Deborah. He's not sending anyone like David. He's sending the Chaldeans. Who are the Chaldeans? They're the precursors of the Babylonians. They develop into this mighty, mighty empire. And they were everything that God said they were going to be. All those things. They were swift. They were ruthless. They were unstoppable. Unstoppable. It was just a matter of time before, remember that piled up earth? It was just a matter of time before they did that to Jerusalem. Piled up the earth. Why? So they could lay siege, break the walls, kill the people. They destroyed the city. They slaughtered thousands of the people that were there. They carried exiles off into Babylon. You may remember some of the names of some of the exiles. Anyone ever heard of Daniel? He was one of those exiles. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were among those. Habakkuk might have been one of those exiles that got carried off. Okay, again, this is not the answer that Habakkuk was hoping for. God is saying, this is what's going to happen. You think it's bad now. This is what's going to happen. So Habakkuk counters with this, chapter 1, verse 13. He goes, okay, God, why do you remain silent? when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? That doesn't seem right. If they're more wicked than this person, why do they get to swallow them up? I can just picture Habakkuk. He says, I'm a regular dude. Why am I reminding you, Almighty God, that you can stop this if you want to? And then, and you can just follow along. This is right there in the scripture. Verses 14 through 17. He goes into full, it's like this God mode. Have you ever done that? Where you're like, hey God, it's really like this. Let me tell you what you should do. And all that. Okay. He goes full in there. He goes, God, are we like fish to you? He says. Do we mean so little to you that you're going to allow us to be caught like fish in a net? And that's not all. You're allowing us to be caught by fishermen who won't even give you the glory. You allowed them to do this. They're going to take credit for themselves. You said it yourself, God. Let me read the transcript back. These are, and I quote you, guilty men whose own might is their God. Habakkuk is saying this to God. He goes, and yet, you're raising the Chaldeans up, even though you know they're going to give themselves the credit. If they were fishermen, he says, they would worship their own nets before they would worship you. That's what he says. Habakkuk's asking questions. And he's asking questions. We may not use that tone, but he's asking questions that most of us can relate to all too well. Questions like, where are you, God? Do you not hear my prayers? Where are you? My God, you may ask, why have you forsaken me? Habakkuk gets real. He gets really real. And then after that, he steps back. Chapter 2, he steps back now. And this is what he says. Habakkuk 2:1. I will take my stand. I'll take my stand at my watch post. I will station myself on the tower. I'm going to look what you have to say to me. And God answers. Verse 2. He says this. He says, write the vision. And what does he say to write it on? That's significant. He says, write this on tablets. The Lord told Habakkuk, write the vision down on tablets. It's so easy to miss things this subtle. The tablets of his day, they were either clay or stone. They served as a more permanent record. More permanent record than the paper that they had in that time and in that place. In verse 3, God goes on to say, here's why you're writing something more permanent. Habakkuk 2:3, for the vision waits its what? Appointed time. And then he says, wait for it. Mike, if you could keep this up, Max, if you could keep this up on the screen for a while, while we talk about this. Okay, I needed this reminder. I really need this reminder. Because sometimes things go so much slower than you think they should. The vision that God had given us for our teens before we even started this church, we are just now starting to see, just now starting to get there. It's been so hard. He's giving us this vision for whole life discipleship, and all these ways are going to help people, and these tools are going to be able to develop so that you can grow holistically and focus on the thing that will help you most. We talked about this thing called the Blameless Project. It's taken so much longer for all the pieces to come into place than we ever wish it would. We're just discovering now, like it took us a while to discover that God even had this vision for Juntos. Now we're discovering it's global. Not as in the whole world, but multinational. That's the vision. Do we feel prepared for this? No. Okay, I didn't have any stone tablets at home, all out of clay tablets. You know what I did, though? I made this card, Habakkuk 2:3. I'm going to put this someplace where I can see it because I need this reminder. The vision awaits its what? Its appointed time. Wait for it. Not passively. But you just can't force it. You have to wait for it. Wait for it. A vision that God gives, it won't delay, but it may not be on our timeline. Can I get an amen? That's personal, that's corporate, it's all the above. The fulfillment of the vision awaits its appointed time. We want to encourage you to write this next thing down. Write this. One of the requirements for walking by faith is to remember that God's time is not always what? It's not always our time. God's time is not always our time. God tells Habakkuk that write the vision down on tablets. Write it on a medium that will last. And this is really interesting. Really interesting. He wants him to write it on a medium that will last because the vision is not going to pass right away. Come to pass right away. God wants this vision to be in the hands of the Jewish people for decades so that when the Babylonians come and when they do these things and when God gets them for doing those things, they can go, see? See? It wasn't you. This was God. And all these things came to pass just as he said they would. Here's one of the reasons we can walk by faith. This is also in Habakkuk 2:3. It will surely come. It will not what? It will not delay. We think it's delaying. No, it's coming in the appointed time. It will surely come. If it's truly from God, it will surely come. It will not delay. The eternal God of the scriptures, he is constantly moving his chess pieces. Sometimes it's decades. Sometimes it's centuries. Sometimes it's centuries. Quick side note. Our last message in this series is going to be on the day of the Lord. How long have people been thinking that Jesus is coming back? Since immediately after he left, right? Every generation. He's coming back. Is he coming back? Yes. Will he delay? No. It's going to be at the appointed time. Who knows the appointed time? Only the Father. He's not delaying. It's the appointed time. Appointed time. When we see evil and injustice, and we wonder why God doesn't seem to be doing anything about it, will we trust him? Will we trust him? All right, let's take a look at what comes next. Some scholars, this is interesting, compare what comes next to the form of an ancient funeral dirge. And right there on tablets of stone, ready to go at the appointed time, there it is. And it's going to come from this. Okay, this is the kind of thing that makes my head hurt. See if you can track with this. This funeral dirge is going to come from the people that the Babylonians had once oppressed. God is going to pass such severe judgment on the instrument of his justice that the Israelites, who the Babylonians haven't even yet begun to oppress, but will in the future, the Israelites are going to look on them in the future and have pity on them. That's how this is going to play out. Make anyone else's head hurt? Makes my head hurt. God knows what's to come. In his appointed time, justice will be served. Verses 6 through 8. Look at this. Woe to him who heaps up what is not his own. The remnant of the peoples will plunder you. Day is coming when those who plunder will be plundered. If you've ever been the victim of theft, ever been the victim of extortion, if your heart breaks when you see people taking things that do not belong to them, if you've seen that, if you've been burdened by that, God sees it too. God sees it too. A day is coming when all will be as it should be, and those who plunder will be plundered. Until that day, the righteous walk by faith. Okay, that's a woe. Here's another woe. Verses 9 through 10. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to set his nest, to be safe from the reach of harm. You've what? You've forfeited your life. Okay, that word house, in both Hebrew and in English, it can mean a single family house. It can also mean a dynasty. That same word can be either thing. So God is saying this to individuals who do evil, to dynasties, empires who do evil. He's saying the same thing. He's saying, I see what you're doing. And woe to you who try to build a fortune in unjust ways by stealing, by lying, by cheating. You think you're safe? You think it's like this little nest up high? No one can touch you? The day is coming. The day is coming. When all will be as it should be, and on that day, you're still on the side of evil, on that day, you forfeit what? Forfeit your life. Until that day, the righteous walk by faith. Here's another woe. This is chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Woe to him, builds a town with blood, and founds a city on iniquity. For the earth, look at this imagery, The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as what? Waters cover the sea. Okay, is justice going to be complete? Yeah. As complete as the waters cover the sea. You can't even separate the sea from the waters, can you? It's going to be that complete. God's justice on that day is going to be that complete. A day is coming, says the Lord, when God's justice will blanket the earth as the waters cover the sea. Until that day, the righteous walk by faith. And what keeps us walking by faith? We trust that appointed time will come to pass. All right. How many of you guys know that day did come to pass for the Babylonians? If you've been reading along, you read Daniel, we read that day, as in that 24-hour period of time when this came to pass for the Babylonians. Daniel chapter 5, and this was interesting, making this connection. Write this on tablets, Habakkuk says. Chapter 5 of Daniel, what happens? A ghostly hand appears, writes on the plaster of a wall as if it's a tablet. This is like coming to pass. Here's what it said. God has numbered the days of your kingdom. He's saying to the Babylonian emperor, the king, he says, you have been weighed in the balances. You've been found wanting. Remember, this is in the future from when Habakkuk's writing. He says, your kingdom is divided. It will be given to the Medes and the Persians at the appointed time, which was that very night. This is historical. You can look this up. The Chaldean king was killed. Darius the Mede ushered in a new empire. Oh man, there are countless reasons why God's timing isn't ours. Countless reasons. One of the reasons that we've seen repeated over and over and over again is God's heart. What's his desire for all people? That they would turn to him to be saved. That's one of the reasons. When the appointed time comes, if you've chosen to walk by faith, you receive the reward that he promises. And those who've chosen not to do that, they'll receive exactly what they deserve. Those of us who walk by faith, this is really important. Those of us who walk by faith, we're not placing that faith in a God whose ways always make sense. We're placing our faith in the God whose ways are higher than ours. As the conversation between Habakkuk and God continues, Habakkuk begins to realize his beliefs about what God should or shouldn't do, they're just that. They're just his beliefs. They were beliefs that are limited by a finite mind. If we can put Max's next thing up on the screen and leave this up for just a little bit, because I think the words are really important here. If our beliefs about God are limited to the capacities of our finite minds, the box that we attempt to place God in will never be big enough. Difficult questions, I believe this to be true. Difficult questions and circumstance won't cause you to lose your faith. They reveal the true nature of the faith you have. All right, I'm going to read that again. If the beliefs about God, your beliefs about God, our beliefs about God, are limited to the capacities of our finite minds, the box that we attempt to put God in, it's never going to be big enough. Difficult questions and difficult circumstances, they won't cause you to lose your faith. They reveal the true nature of the faith you have. If you're looking for a God who will conform to your expectations, you got to look elsewhere than Christianity, because he will not do that. And that brings us to something else that's worth writing down. God's decision and God's timing are better informed than our own. Can I get an amen? His decisions are better informed than ours. His timing is better informed than ours. And Habakkuk ultimately reached a place where he's able to concede, God, your perspective is better than mine, and your faithfulness, it took him time, but he got to that place. Your faithfulness, God, has been demonstrated over and over and over again. If God is who the Bible declares him to be, God not only sees evil and injustice, he knows that a day is coming. We invite you to write this down. A day will come when all will be as it should be. And until that day comes, the righteous walk by faith. And as we wait, the book of Habakkuk, it provides a great template of how do you come before the Lord. We can see from his example, come, bring all your questions. Bring your emotions. And as you bring those, also listen. Listen to the one whose ways are higher. The one who desires all to turn to him and to be saved. What we're talking about today too, this is really important. This doesn't just apply to evil. It also applies to opportunities, doesn't it? The appointed time and waiting for the appointed time. We did a series on this book. We did a whole series on this in 2015. And so I was looking back at my notes, I was looking back at the videos, and I found myself not just looking back, I found myself reliving parts of it. Reliving. This is section specific. I did a cut and paste. You want to put this up on the screen? This is literally cut and paste what my notes looked like back then. We could see God moving these chess pieces, and I just said this. I said, we're not sure what all is coming or when it's coming. It might be months. It might be years. But if we keep walking by faith, we're going to see. God was up to something that none of us could have orchestrated on our own. This is true for Emmanuel and each one of us. We have things like this that God is doing. You're part of this master tapestry that he's weaving together, this chessboard that's out there. You're in play. And there's pieces all around you. He knows what he's doing. If you choose to walk by faith, don't be surprised if God also brings bigger and bigger challenges over time. Part of what he does is he prepares us, right, for these bigger and bigger challenges. All right, as we begin to bring this to a close today, here's our invitation to you. Here's what we've been building towards. And we encourage you to write this down. As we wait, we invite you, exchange if-then ultimatums for even if faith. Instead of saying, God, if you, then I will. If you do this, then I will. I'll believe you if, and exchange that for even if faith. Even if faith. Even if I don't understand. Even if this doesn't make sense. In English, it's really interesting to contrast where Habakkuk began and where he lands. Let's compare the two. If we can put the next slide up. Habakkuk 1:1, first chapter, and then at the last chapter. Look at this. The prophecy, the burden that he received, that's how it starts. And then here's the prayer. Here's the prayer. By chapter 3, his burden becomes a prayer. His perspective has changed. Has his circumstances changed yet? No. Babylonians are still coming. It's still a mess now, and it's going to get worse. Circumstances haven't changed, but his perspective has. Perspective has. With a show of hands, how many of you want a faith that doesn't depend on circumstance, right? That's what we want, right? That's ultimately what we want. Man, how many of you would like to have a faith that would hold up even if a gun is pointed at your prayer group? Habakkuk had a faith like that. Took him a while to get there, but he had a faith like that. His questions ultimately brought him back to the firm foundation of Scripture. Scripture. Scripture is still being written, and I'm going to show you an example. He comes back to Scripture. Habakkuk 3:2, he says this. He says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. All right, I want to show you something here about Habakkuk 3:2. I had never heard this before. We started digging in back in 2015. Look at this. Let's put up this quote from one of my resources. The noun fame that appears in the verse we just read, it's normally used of what? Secondhand information. Suggesting a remoteness from the hearer's own experience to the person's or events referred to. In other words, Habakkuk may have never seen one of those miracles himself. It's very possible he never saw the kind of miracles that he read about through the Scriptures. He may never experienced them firsthand. He may have never witnessed one of those miracles up close. And even if you, like Habakkuk, have never seen some of the things that the Bible describes, when we walk by faith, we're putting our faith in a God whose fingerprints are all over creation. We're placing our faith in a God He raises up kingdoms and kings. He tears them up, builds them up, tears them down. We're placing our faith in a God who lets us know that he sees. He sees evil. He sees injustice. And when the time is right, he'll make all things right. The more that Habakkuk remembered God's great deeds in history, the more he gained confidence that God is not about to abandon his people now. Verse 16, look at this. He's being real. He goes, okay, I heard this stuff about the Babylonians, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones. My legs trembled. But yet, I'm going to wait patiently for the day of what? Calamity to come on that nation invading us. All right, I'm not looking forward to getting invaded, but I'm looking forward to the day when these things come to pass and they get theirs. No one wants to hear the Babylonians are coming. But the God who had proven himself trustworthy in the past gave Habakkuk the confidence to offer this profound statement of trust. Here's what I think are the most familiar verses in all of Habakkuk, some of the most of the entire Old Testament. Though the fig tree does not bud, though there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. That is even if faith. I said that he was able to anchor to the scriptures in all this. Even when it comes to these life or death things. Look at this. He anchors to the scriptures. Why do I say that? Because Habakkuk, he engages in spirit-inspired plagiarism. Take a look at this. Let's put Habakkuk 3:19 and Psalm 18:33 up on the screens. Look at this. Habakkuk says, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Where did he get that from? He got that from David. Look at this. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. How do you anchor in this world? You do like he did. You be honest and you anchor to scripture. You anchor to scripture. The sacred scriptures that testify to God's great fame gave Habakkuk the courage and strength to walk by faith, even if faith. I'll say this then before we pray. If you're looking for a heavenly Father who's going to answer every question to your satisfaction, you will not find that God here. You're not going to find that God here. The God you will find is a God who's worthy of even if faith. Let's pray and let's seal this time with a song. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are who you are. Because only you can see all things. Only you know all things. Only you can bring all things to pass. Lord, forgive us all. Forgive us all individually, corporately, for being so presumptuous to say to you, here's what you should do. Lord, thank you for giving us notions of justice. Thank you for giving us notions of fairness, of good and evil. Those things come from you, those knowledge, those understandings, those delineations. But forgive us, Lord, for thinking that we know more than you, that we should be telling you what to do. Help us instead, Lord, to trust you. Help us to work towards noble ends. Help us to be willing to lay down our lives for that which is good, and help us to remember that these battles we're fighting, they've already been won. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,